This is Morning Edition on NPR News. I'm Kathy Werzer. Months before George Floyd's death in Minneapolis last spring, Twin Cities freelance journalist Tony Webster filed a public records request with the city. His ask? Disciplinary files for the city's entire police force, some 800 officers. Now, those records became all the more important after Floyd died at the hands of police in May. And after Webster sued, the city eventually provided 195 files. Webster published his reporting on those records this week with Max Nesterak in the Minnesota Reformer. Tony Webster is with me right now on the phone. Good to talk with you, by the way. Good work. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I noted that you ended up filing this lawsuit to get these documents. What's the story there?
Yeah, so a little over a year ago, I was thinking about how there's just such little news coverage of police discipline. You know, you might hear about an officer being suspended or fired for something, but rarely do you get to see a big picture of how that whole process works. And so I sent a public records request to the city of Minneapolis asking for all of their police discipline files, which state law says is public. But they would not give me a single file on any officer. And so my request just sat open, never to be fulfilled by the city. Then earlier this year, when George Floyd was killed, I just thought, I'm tired of waiting. I sued the city. And then finally, not a moment before I sued, they started to give me the discipline records. And eventually I ended up getting about 3,300 pages covering about 195 cases where officers were disciplined, which is still not all of them, but it provides a really deep insight into that discipline process.
And you and Max did such a good job on the story. One thing that jumped out to me after reading the story is how long it can take for disciplinary action to unfold at the Minneapolis Police Department. I mean, you know, one officer was on leave for 3.5 years while his actions are being investigated. And during that time, he was paid, you know, nearly $300,000 in wages. You know, what's behind those delays?
Yeah, we did see it takes a really long time to discipline a police officer. And even for very minor things, it takes on average about 539 days to resolve a case that resulted in discipline against a Minneapolis police officer. And this delay also highlighted sort of another, you know, interesting aspect here, which is that in that roughly average year and a half period, often supervisors wouldn't even know that officers were being investigated. And so officers would continue to receive awards and promotions while they're being investigated, or maybe even while they're trying to, you know, suspend or fire an officer. And when that discipline finally made its way to an arbitrator after the police union would appeal, arbitrators would sometimes point to those very promotions and say that that's a mitigating factor against the officer getting discipline. So just, you know, the delays kind of led to this very cyclical system where it's actually very difficult to remove bad officers from the department.
It would be a surprise to many listeners to hear that many supervisors didn't know about the discipline, you know? So who's making the decisions about whether and how to discipline officers?
And that's something that is actually not really clear, you know, on a case-by-case basis sometimes. But the, you know, the broad picture of discipline in Minneapolis is that we have, you know, the Department of Civil Rights and an Office of Police Conduct Review, and they receive, you know, complaints from the public. There's also an internal affairs process. And basically now that every complaint that comes in goes to this joint supervisors, they're called, which are civilian and sworn employees, and they look at cases and decide, you know, what should we do with this? And another thing that was highlighted in this reporting is that a lot of cases are being sent straight to coaching. And they say that coaching is really just a process for minor, you know, minor violations like speeding and that sort of thing. But, you know, we did find, according to the city's data, that process of coaching has been used in cases including excessive force and discrimination. But we never find out the details because the city doesn't consider coaching to be discipline, even though it's the result of a discipline process. And because they don't consider it discipline, they don't consider it public information. And so we don't find out what happened. We don't get any details of the investigation. And so there's actually a lot we don't know.
What's been the MPD's response to your reporting?
You know, we reached out to the mayor and the police chief to try to figure some of this out. The police chief declined to do an interview. We sent a list of questions, didn't get a response. So not clear there. We also found a lot of inconsistencies in the data and had reached out to the city trying to figure out, you know, hey, this report that's on your site doesn't match this data that's somewhere else on your site. It doesn't match your spreadsheet you provided. Like, what's going on with these discrepancies? And still waiting for an answer on that.
You are well known, Tony, for your ability to get some really eye-opening data because of what you do. You are no stranger to law enforcement agencies as you file data requests. What's the most surprising takeaway been for you as you've sifted through all these records?
You know, I was thinking a lot about former officer Derek Chauvin, and one of the cases that you know came out of this was that back in 2002, when Chauvin was a recruit to the Minneapolis Police Department, he helped arrest three black men who were suspected in a burglary. And after one of the men started swearing at an officer, Chauvin's senior officer slammed on the brakes, causing one of the suspects to slam his head into the back of the partition, the record said. So that individual went to the hospital, and it turned out he wasn't even the suspect. And so when you consider this sort of violence that Chauvin was seeing as a recruit, I mean, this was his on-the-job painting. So it really paints a picture that, you know, now, almost two decades later, Chauvin was training other officers. And so I think it just shows what officers are seeing from their seniors is really, you could be having an effect on them, and then they could go on to perpetuate that. And so that just really stood out to me and you know, just seemed to really, really paint the picture of some of the internal stuff that you just don't see anywhere else but these records.
Tony, again, good reporting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Twin Cities freelance journalist Tony Webster. You can find his reporting on the Minneapolis Police Department on the Minnesota Reformer website. By the way, we've also repeatedly reached out to Minneapolis Police Chief Madira Arredondo over the past several months for an interview on this program, but he has declined.